And welcome to the Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm Phil Taylor. Phil Conlon is here.
Yes.
How are you doing, Phil?
Good evening, Phil.
And today we're going to be speaking to Walter Riley, California lawyer, and he's an activist and very engaged with the issue of Haiti. The organization is Haiti Solidarity, not .net. And we'll be talking later in the show with Eva K. Bartlett about her recent interview with the Russian-Ukrainian journalist and prisoner in Kiev. His name is Vyshinsky. We're going to find out what is the issue. He's being held now since last May. But I believe we're joined by Walter Riley himself. Are you there, Walter?
I am. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Boy, it's great to be talking to you, Walter, because I know you are a longtime activist on this issue of Haiti and America's relationship with Haiti. You're with HaitiSolidarity.net. Actually, the last time we spoke with you, you had narrowly escaped from Haiti with your life. You were there at the time of the earthquake.
That's true, 2010, January.
And
I remember that.
That's just one of the inherited nightmares that that population has had to go through. They've been through hurricanes and earthquakes on top of this crisis of being an impoverished country, which they seem to have a problem with the U.S. and its friends of being able to develop themselves without Washington telling them what to do. And I allude, of course, to what is going on now, this matter of the popular demonstrations. I guess superficially, on one level, a result of price increases in fuel. So can you talk to us about that?
Yes.
And particularly, I'm interested in this link with this phenomenon called Petro-Carib, which I
Well, Petro-Carib is, right, that's money that was provided by the Hugo Chavez government from Venezuela to the Caribbean countries mm-hmm. to help to alleviate some of the economic woes, all of them being under the thumb, by and large, of U.S. Control mm-hmm. and economic pressures. So for Haiti, it meant that the Haitian government would be able to provide gasoline or petrol for at a lower price, which mm-hmm. would course mean that people could afford to buy it. And that money was supposed to be spent, money that is saved and the purchase of the gasoline from the Haitian government was supposed to go to infrastructure, governmental services in Haiti. And that money never got to infrastructure nor governmental services. It went to corrupt individuals in the government since the monies were given to Haiti back in the early 2000s up until the present. And people have counted that as just one of the straws that breaks the proverbial camel's back because mm-hmm. there's so many other things that are going on. Before the earthquake, the devastation that occurred because of floods was much greater because people were pushed into terrible living circumstances and conditions. In large part because they were pushed out of the agricultural areas. Clinton administration dumped rice that destroyed the rice farming in Haiti. Haiti once was a producer of an exporter of rice. And mm-hmm. because of the dumping of rice, this method has been done by various Western governments and developing countries. For decades, they destroyed the rice economy, they destroyed the rice farms, and people had to leave the countryside mm-hmm. to find work and places to live. Mm-hmm. And the overcrowded conditions that started way back in the 50s because of economic economic policies imposed by Western governments on Haiti, mm-hmm. The population has gathered in cities and in some of the worst areas, and when there is a disaster, that disaster is compounded, and it's no longer a natural disaster, but it's human-made disaster by policies of exportation.
Mm-hmm. We're speaking to Walter Riley, a California lawyer, civil rights activist, and long been engaged with this issue. These demonstrations actually have achieved some things, have they not? They actually wobbled the government, caused it to make certain concessions. It's kind of like they're acting like a unofficial parliament against a authoritarian president, right?
Yes, yes. It's amazing that these demonstrations have had some tremendous impact in Haiti over a period of a few years. I mean, we might remember that the elections that were supposed to occur, an imposition of an elections a few years ago, was actually stopped because of demonstrations. And then when the U.S. Imposed through the State Department an elected president, they decided that they were going to require another election. So they stopped the imposition of the U.S. selected president for more than a year, and then there had to be new elections develop, and in the new elections they were able to decide through demonstrations that they would not accept a couple of people in the government. Last year, the present government in Haiti had to force out a prime minister that the people refused to accept because of the corruption. Mm-hmm. And right now they're demanding that that's not enough, that mm-hmm. they need to get rid of the president mm-hmm. and the present prime minister in Haiti. Mm-hmm. And these have mobilized folks all over the country. And right now there's some attempt to develop a coalition to figure out what the next steps would be. But they are gaining traction in Haiti. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, Phil, we have to remember that they are up against some very powerful and violent forces. And there are people with big guns
yes.
that are being sent to Haiti from the U.S. and from Canada. And
I wanted to ask you about that. Yes,
used against the people.
I said it seems to me that is one of the underreported stories. It must have a lot of significance to your work because these are Americans. When are people such as these five mercenaries going to be? Dealt with in the U.S. and U.S. call to account for the use of them. But I guess I should start by just finding out from you, who were they and what do you think they were up to?
Well, they were there with a list of names. The names of all the folks has not been released yet. The list has not come out publicly, but there are names of folks who are in the movement, some people are saying. And some of the leaders of the Parpola movement, Lavalas folks, are being targeted for assassination. Lavalas folks have already been assassinated. That's been going on for some time. They're trying to wipe out that movement by killing people, not mm-hmm. by political wins, but by killing people, because that seems to be the most effective way. Other times they're trying to buy people off, but a lot of folks are not going for being bought off, and so they're just killing people. There have been some outrageous massacres. Mm-hmm. So these people are there to enforce the regime that has been selected by the U.S. And because you're in Canada, I have to mm-hmm. say very clearly that the U.S. and Canada are partners in this terrible exportation, violent exportation and suppression of the movement mm-hmm. in Haiti. They were there in 2010 after the earthquake to provide guns and support for the folks who were
mm-hmm. I'm really glad you call attention to
hoarding supplies
yeah.
and not allowing humanitarian supplies into Haiti.
Yeah, you would probably be amused to know that in the Canadian press is helping the Americans look for Cubans in Venezuela, but they're not interested in reporting that Canadians are operating in Haiti.
Oh, I didn't realize this. So they're making a big deal, but they're not interested in reporting the Haitians, the Canadians who are. We've provided photographs to the media that doesn't get shown in the popular media, but Canadians with guns that are guarding street corners and stores and taking up service areas for Haitian police and giving advice to Haitian police of how to go into homes and neighborhoods to massacre people. Mm-hmm. They have supported them and given them backup for those particular jobs. Mm-hmm. Some cases where people know that mercenaries or military folks are out there shooting, they are covered from head to toe, and it's not clear who they are. Sometimes they actually show the white skins because they are not always able to find enough black people to do that work, or they feel safe with them.
Well,
and those are expected to be mercenaries provided by Canada, the U.S., and France. Those are the two countries that are supplying these mercenaries. Mm-hmm. And we know that some of them are being bought in other places. These folks have been doing this work as the leader of the group that was arrested in Haiti was found to have been a person who has worked with the CIA, with the U.S. military, and other forces as a mercenary in other parts of the world and doing dirty work, who's claiming now that he can't do dirty work because he's been exposed. However, he was on Fox News bragging about it for the last several years.
So. Yeah, I think he's very likely pulling our leg. It's almost good advertising from his point of view.
Yeah, no, it's actually, it is. It is.
He will profit.
What he looks for is popularity around that issue, yeah.
But what about, is that an avenue you might take up? And by the way, I was just saying, it's Walter Riley, and it's HaitiSolidarity.net. But surely there must be a congressman or two, certainly perhaps Ms. Omar from Minneapolis, but somebody ought to be asking, who are these guys? Aren't they criminals? How did they enter the country? Did they bring the guns with them? Or did somebody already have the guns there? I mean, it should be an inquiry.
We have new people in Congress, and we're going to be making attempts to try and reach these new people. The old folks in Congress have not been willing to raise some of these questions. There have been people who have said that we should find out what has happened to the money. What happened to the money with Red Cross? What happened to the money that went to these various NGOs? Mm-hmm. What's happened to governmental funding that came from other places that was supposed to be used in Haiti for humanitarian relief, for disaster relief? Mm-hmm. But the actual military operations in Haiti, it's, for those operations, it's hard to have people raise questions. The UN has been particularly, the UN military forces in Haiti have been particularly violent in Haiti, and unresponsive to petitions for change, and unresponsive to complaints. Mm-hmm. But that's not getting any real coverage in the U.S. Congress, and I dare say, though I don't follow it, it's not getting any coverage in Canadian Parliament.
Not at all.
And there's nobody talking about these things. No. But the partnership of Haiti. In Haiti for Canada and the U.S. to exploit, violently put down the mass protest is something that does cries for investigation by government, but mm-hmm. we don't have that. Until we're in the streets, until we make some real changes, there's mm-hmm. too much gain for Canada and the U.S. To keep its position of power and exploitation to mm-hmm. raise questions.
Yeah.
And elected folks are not getting to that point yet.
Yeah. They tend to answer to the plutocracy, I guess they call it. This is Walter Riley, Haiti Solidarity, .net. To what extent is it, it must be a kind of common knowledge in the streets of Haiti that they have a president. His name Moise, who actually went so far as to call for the removal of President Maduro, the elected president of Venezuela, with a lot more votes than President Moise got.
Mm.
I mean, doesn't that just kind of cry out for people to say, "Oh my,"
Well, that was one of the demonstrations that occurred in Haiti when he made that announcement. People went into the streets. And all over Haiti denouncing him for that, It was just one of those things that people said, this is outrageous. We don't have a voice unless we go to the streets. And that was one major demonstration, say, that helped to fuel the anger and revolt that's taking place in Haiti right now. Venezuela had provided those funds for the benefit of the masses of people, and people remember that. People are talking about that on radio. People are talking about it in organizations.
By the way,
and for this
could
guy
that,
to support the U.S. was just way beyond the pale.
I was going to say, this business of the stealing of that of the funds, it should have gone to popular projects in Haiti, which was the wish of the Chavez government.
That, yes.
Yeah. So
yeah,
I assume that some of that stealing was considered by the Americans to be patriotic or loyal to the U.S., right?
They allow that corruption because they know that it's going, that there will be no development. There will be no development of the economic resources in Haiti if there's corruption. So they can live with the corruption. They don't need the U.S. doesn't need to see a government that's functioning for the people in Haiti. All it needs to do is have a government that will protect their stealing of resources and their taking of land and their particular investments. And you don't need a government that serves the interests of people to do that because they don't care about those folks. Mm-hmm. So when people are out in the streets in Haiti, as they have been now constantly for the last 2 years, basically talking about democracy and the need for some kinds of economic relief, you don't hear that in corporate media in the U.S. Yeah. And I dare say you're not hearing it in Canada either because they seem to be lockstep around these issues. Basically, and why is it that there's a media that is so in tune with U.S. and Canadian foreign policy? Mm-hmm. So it's interesting.
Yeah. Well, by the way, if I might mention your son, Boots Riley, who was speaking at an award ceremony, I just want to tell you that he gave a great speech, and it was widely perceived, watched. You do have a common struggle. It's so clear, as Chavez was trying to help the government and people of Haiti, and then you also have the people of the Caribbean who are also nobody's registering their voices. CARICOM is against this business going on in Venezuela. They support President Maduro. And Haiti could comfortably be part of a united group from the Caribbean countries, the CARICOM and Venezuela and Haiti. The only problem is, of course, Los Estados Unidos wants to get in the way.
Well, Jovenel Moïse is there because of the U.S. State Department. He is president because of the U.S. State Department. And it's like knowing who, the hand that feeds you. He is not about to bite that hand. Mm-hmm. And therefore, he took a position contrary to what you would expect from the rest of CARICOM folks and from the masses of folks in Haiti and called for the ousting of Maduro because the U.S. State Department wanted him to do it. He is clearly just a puppet working his mouth, and somebody else is calling the shots. Mm-hmm. The people of Haiti are talking about that. And this guy is not popular at all. Mm-hmm. But the other thing is that he gets protection from the U.S. There are folks who say that, it's simply a narco government, that he is a narco himself, mm-hmm. that he was part of a shipment that was supposed to be sugar, turns out to be cocaine. Drugs.
That's a lot.
That was this major ship. Yes. And that's those things have been discovered. He had no big bank account before. He had no banana plantation. He had no business before he became U.S. and Martelli's choice for president. And suddenly he was moved into places and positions and given a portfolio. Just like, you know, these things we see on the movies when somebody makes up these characters for these, you know, black ops operations. And that's what they've done with this guy. That's what, now that's who his government is.
He fronted him. They had him fronted,
Completely made him up for this whole purpose. And it's well known on the in the streets of Haiti. And, you know, somebody said at a conference yesterday, you know, Haiti's an island, and it's, everybody knows what's going on. It just as their position is in the oligarchy and the elite is, if it doesn't get to the national and other countries, we don't have to worry about it. So,
It's a very sophisticated political culture. I mean, that's people who visit Haiti always say that. There's a very savvy, at every level of society, people all know the score.
Right. Well, there's this sense that the revolution that started in 1771 is continuous. As many people talk about Haiti, the Vaudon is a spirit of the people, and it's part of the people's spirit of their self-identity, and the resistance to oppression is part of that spirit. So it's like the philosophy that is ingrained in the body cells. It becomes part of their resistance. So the resilience of the struggle continues from 1771 when slaves met and decided they were going to end the oppression of the slave owners. And it continues today, and people remember the history. They talk about it. They are in the streets using the same slogans.
It's the DNA, the modern expression. It's part of who they are.
Part of who they are.
This is Walter Riley. We've got to, Walter, I want to know. We spoke a couple of weeks ago with a representative of Lavalas, and they do have, and of course, I associate the two names, President Aristide, who was robbed of his opportunity to be the president by the U.S. They removed
twice.
Him. My memory is they removed him twice. The Democrats removed him, and the Republicans removed him. But there is a movement which was inspired by his work called Lavalas. They talk about what their plans are and what your estimate of that as a policy, a strategy.
Lavalas was outlawed from 2004 until 2016. We're not allowed to participate in any elections because the U.S. State Department required it and asked the Electoral Process Commission in Haiti to oppose the and not allow the Lavalas movement representatives to participate in any elections, because it was well known that if Lavalas was to participate in an open, free election, that they would win. And so Republicans and Democrats alike have been able to say when they visit and when they make their plans that any strategy that allows for Lavalas means that Lavalas will win. But in 2016, Lavalas was able to participate in a sham election that was actually controlled, and ballots were printed and stuffed into boxes before the election. People were pushed out of the election process. So only a sort of a an attempt at being able to develop some public relations efforts that to say that Lavalas was participating, but the election was actually stolen from the people, and that's part of the anger of the people at this moment when they're saying that there has to be a change. Lavalas proposes a new form of organization for government, for state, for a nation. And they're saying right now, very clearly in their statement, that the system of government is not working. I'll read from the Lavalas statement that was issued last November 15th, and it's one that people are waving in the streets right now. Just some portions of this from the Lavalas family political organization. And they say it's paramount that we stand in solidarity with the protests demanding a new form of state. The nation deserves a new system that is more in harmony with the dreams of our founders, a new vision of the republic rooted in justice, transparency, and participation. The population is rejecting the usurpers who derived their power from the fraudulent elections and who have discredited themselves with multiple scandals involving corruption and impunity. Our people are facing savage repression that continues to create victims from among the disadvantaged masses, and that is heightening the insecurity that is poisoning daily life for the majority. Family La Valas Political Organizations continues to stand firmly with the Haitian people to overturn the cauldron. No cosmetic solution will bring an effective and lasting solution to the crisis in which we are plunged. This system has run its course. It cannot be patched up. It must be changed. Mm-hmm. That's the statement of Family La Valas. And now, you know, at this point, they're saying it has to be changed. They cannot accept the structure that is being posed. That is imposed upon them. They're calling for a new constitution. They're calling for the resignation of Jovenel Moïse, and the resignation of the of Siant, who is the prime minister, and all the ministers. They want to put together and put in place an executive and a government of public safety to ensure a transition period for a period of 36 months. And in that period, they want to work on improving conditions, create a constituent assembly, organize a necessary national dialogue, and creating the conditions that will end the impunity and allow for a new change in government. Mm-hmm. So that's what they're working on right now. They have openly announced that they cannot accept the system of government that they are placed and that are burdened with. And this, Phil, is revolutionary.
You bet.
This is something new in the world that we live in, when a majority of the people have announced that they want and will work for and organize for a new form of government through general mobilization. Mm-hmm. This system has run its course. And it cannot be patched up. It must be changed. And that, knowing the movement in Haiti, working with people on the ground in Haiti for all these years, and knowing the people in the movement around here, and seeing what's happening in so many other places, this is the kind of outlook, vision, that is absolutely required for the best interest of the folks, the mass movement in Haiti. Yeah, like, the attempt at democracy in Haiti has shown the folks that there is no government outside of the people that is going to help them to build democracy. There is no national power that has shown any support for a movement for democracy since 1771. There has been no government that supported democracy in Haiti. There's been no government that supported the masses of people in Haiti. And every effort to align themselves with nations such as the U.S., Canada, and France has been disastrous.
Yeah. Undoubtedly.
And the people now are becoming clearer and clearer every day that they're in this with themselves and their allies who know what it is to fight on the ground.
Well, I couldn't be better summarized than that. Walter Riley, it's a great pleasure to talk to you. We always look forward to it, and I hope we can talk to you again soon. Thank you very, very much.
Thank you, Phil. Thank you. And I didn't make a comment about you mentioning my son. He is an actually wonderful person who has been in the fight with me, and I do hope that his voice reaches many, many more people.
He's doing a good job, and he comes from good stock, I noticed. So thank you very, very much.
Thank you, Phil, and I hope I can come on again. I have many, many, many more thoughts about what is happening in the places such as Haiti. So,
thank you. We're going to do it soon. Okay.
Thanks, Phil. Bye.
Bye-bye. That's Walter Riley, a terrific man, terrific activist. We've known him for years, and if anybody wants me to testify, I'll go to and do that. This is the Taylor Report. It is CIUT. It's 89.5 FM. We're going to take a little break. We hear some Haitian music, and we're going to come back with Eva K. Bartlett.